Hello and welcome to today's episode of Turning Readers into Writers. And today's episode is a little bit different to normal, and it's quite a bit longer than normal. And that's because I am sharing with you an interview I did with Stephanie Ferrara, who is the owner of a business consultancy called Empowered Creativity Coach. And you might be wondering, well, what does business consulting and business coaching have to do with someone who's writing a novel? And you'd be surprised, but there is some really interesting overlap between the two. So both running your own business and writing your own novel, you need to have a positive and quite a resilient mindset. You also need to show up to your business or show up to your writing on a consistent basis. And you have to develop confidence in your own abilities, whether that be to land a new client or whether it to be to finish a new manuscript. So listen to the interview. It's really interesting. Stephanie shares a lot of her experiences as well. See what you can take from it that will help you develop your own writing strategies. Welcome to the Turning Readers into Writers podcast, where I teach beginner writers how to find the time and confidence to write their first novel. I'm your host, Emma Desi, and I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me today, because if you've been longing to write your novel for forever, this is the place to be.
Hey, it's Stephanie Ferrara, your Empowered Creativity Coach. As a Christ-centered business coach, I help women in the early stages of their business to create the strong foundations needed so that they develop a thriving, God-driven business. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to evangelize from your desk, or that you even have to be forward in your faith through your writing and your business. What it means is you let God drive your business. You let Him be your CEO, and I help you learn how to do that while putting in place those strong foundations for your business, such as your brand, your niche, your program, your course. I help you develop all of that. And I really, really enjoy getting to do that with the ladies that I work with. I want to introduce you today to my friend Emma Desi. Emma is an author. She writes women's fiction, and she is currently working on her third book. Her second book publishes tomorrow. It goes live tomorrow, and we're so excited to celebrate that with her. She is a stay-at-home mom who began writing seriously while raising her three preschool children. By changing her mindset, she consistently began to develop confidence, develop the habits that actually led to publishing her first book. Emma's gone on to teach now new writers how to do the same, how to develop the process, how to develop the time in their schedule, how to schedule that time, and to change all of those handwritten notes into an actual published book. Having experienced firsthand how writing can change lives, Emma has so much fun getting to help new writers do the same. Well, hey, Emma, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad you were able to join us today. Why don't you just start by introducing yourself?
Well, hello. Thank you for asking me on. I'm really delighted to be here. My name is Emma Desi, and I am a fiction writer. I write contemporary women's fiction, but I also help beginner writers find the time and confidence to write their first novel as well.
I think that's awesome. I know I have a few friends who are kind of just beginning, or they've been writing for a while but haven't quite gotten to that published state, but have all the thoughts and half books and things like that, and all of the notes and everything. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey into writing?
So I have always written ever since I was a child. I'm one of those people who's always kind of dabbled in writing and has written on and off over the years. But as is often the case, you know, life gets in the way and we get taken off on a tangent. But it wasn't until I became a stay-at-home mum, really, that I got into it quite seriously. I found sort of within the space of 12 months, I emigrated across the other side of the world. I got married and I had a baby. So my whole world just, you know, changed dramatically. And then a few years later, I found myself with three young children, all under the age of five, And I needed something that was just for me, for my sanity, that was not about the kids, not about my husband, not about the home. It had to be something for me. So I started journaling just to kind of try and keep on top of my thoughts and figure out what was going on in my life. And that journaling sort of moved into fiction writing again, because it was something I'd always enjoyed. And I found it really did give me a release from the day-to-day life of being a stay-at-home mum and having a life within the home. So the kind of combination of the two, really, the journaling, which was helping me sort out how I was feeling about being a stay-at-home mum, and then the fiction writing that was giving me that, the enjoyment factor, something that I really gave me that serotonin release, you know, made me feel really good. So those two combined sort of then started out being the first novel that I wrote. But I wasn't doing it very consistently, and I wasn't taking it particularly seriously at that time. So I started reading quite a few craft books about writing, and I also started watching a lot of YouTube videos with authors that I admired and whose books I really enjoyed. And one of those authors was a lady called Elizabeth Kostova, an American writer who wrote a book called The Historian, which was a retelling of Dracula in the modern day. And it's a very big book, and I loved it. I really recommend it if you haven't read it yet, and it was a big bestseller. So I watched quite a few videos with her, and it turned out that she also was a stay-at-home mum with three kids. And when she was asked, well, how did you manage to write this big book with three kids at home? And she said, well, really, I just had to do it when I could. So if I only had 10 minutes in a day, I only had 10 minutes to write. If I had 20 minutes another day, then I had the 20 minutes to write. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? If she can do it, then I can do it. And it's something that I've always wanted. It's something that's giving me a lot of pleasure right now. And it's something that's just for me too. So that's what I started doing. I said to myself, right, just write what you can when you can, and we'll see how it goes. It didn't take quite 10 years to write my first book, but it did take me 5 years. It took a long time because, you know, some days I only had 10 minutes to write, and other days I only had 20. So it was a slow process. Not to mention the fact that, of course, I was learning as I went along. But that's really what got me into writing more seriously, and then allowed me to then write full time, which is what I do now. So and now I have nearly two books under my belt. At the time of recording this, my second book is released tomorrow. So exciting times.
Oh, fun. Oh, so tell us a little bit about that book. What's the storyline?
So the book that's coming out tomorrow is called Belonging. So the fiction I write is, you know, women's fiction. So I tend to write about the issues and sort of realities of being a wife, a mother, and all the complex relationships that come with that. This one is about identity, really, and adoption is the sort of big theme of it. So one of my children are adopted, and I've sort of been thinking about him and as he gets older and what he might go through as he gets older. And so that led me into writing a book. Well, what could happen? What might be some of the struggles that he faces as he becomes a teenager? And, you know, you have your teenage angst, and then you add on to that this kind of questioning of your identity and where you come from, what might be the result of that. So it's about this young boy, Jake, who's 15, and he's struggling to kind of fit into a small town. He doesn't feel he belongs. He's really rebelling against everything in his life because he doesn't feel he fits in anywhere. And so it's about how he and his mother kind of resolve their relationship, how they can figure out a way forward for the two of them, and the ups and downs along the way. So it's been quite a book close to my heart, shall we say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and congratulations. That is so exciting that it releases tomorrow. Awesome. I'll make sure I get this video out quick. Well, so when you think back on this journey that you've been on and learning to write in those little margins of time, what does it look like, or how has it changed you as a person over these years?
I heard somebody else say this, that when you publish a book, your book isn't going to change the world, but it is going to change you. And that has certainly been the case for me. Writing sort of 50,000 plus words felt like such a big job, such an overwhelming prospect, you know, such a big project. I didn't believe I ever had the consistency for it, or the discipline, or even the imagination. How could I write that many words? But by doing it, by sitting myself down, by working consistently and slowly, just doing bit by bit by bit, I realized that, well, yes, I do have all of those things. I can sit down at my desk for a period of time each day and write the words that I need to write. I can create this other world, this imaginary world that's filled with these new characters. I do have the discipline that's needed to sit down and do a big long-term project like that. So if I can do that in my writing, then where else can I do that? You know, how else can I do that in my life? And so it's impacted everything. It's impacted, I'd say, even my parenting, because now I know I've got more patience than I thought. I know that things are more long-term than I used to think. You know, I used to live very much in the moment, but now I can, now that I'm a bit older, maybe I can see that there's a future there and not everything has to be done immediately. So I'm a lot more patient in my life. It also means that if we think about sort of the business side, about being an entrepreneur, it was also, you know, oh, well, what else could I do then? If I can write this book and I can publish this book, what else might I be capable of? So it's had this unexpected sort of shift in my life that's led from professional into personal and then back to professional again. So just proving to yourself that you can actually fulfill one of your lifelong dreams, I think, has a real profound effect on you, really. So it's impacted everything.
Yeah, and I think that you're at a little bit of an advantage coming into entrepreneurship, because so many women, I think even men too, I think just entrepreneurs in general, like, we want it all to be done fast. We want to get there. We want to do it. We have this great idea and we want to get it out and we want to do it. And like, everybody's going to want it and all this kind of stuff. And we're so excited to get it out there. And then we find it takes 2 years to really get to where we saw in our brain.
Like, yes, yeah. So, I want to make an impact now. Yeah.
Now, right. And so I know that that's one of the things that I've struggled with personally as an entrepreneur, but also the other women that I coach. It's like, okay, so how quick can we make this happen? It's like, let's just get the foundations. Like, I can't promise you in 6 months mm-hmm. you're gonna like be profitable. And I know that can be that it can happen, but I also know that it's better to get the foundations for long-term success and not be so quick, because you're gonna burn yourself out if you're pushing that hard. And just knowing that you're setting the right foundations. And so mm-hmm. I know that that's been a challenge, you know, in my own business journey, but then also working with some of my clients and trying to help them through that as well. It's like, you've got to be patient, and everything is going to take longer than you think it should.
And it's just about consistency, isn't it? Just sticking with it, even when you feel, you know, if I'm writing a novel and I'm in that mid slump where you think, oh my goodness, I can't pull all these threads together, I can't come to a conclusion. And it's the same in business, when you feel like you're plowing away, but nothing is happening and you think you're doing something wrong, but you're not.
You're not. I know personally for me, in those times when I've gotten discouraged, it's like, I'm doing all the things and everything. It's like, I'm doing everything you've told me to do, everything my coach has told me to do. I know my audience knows, a lot of times I journal and I ask the Holy Spirit, like, what's my to-do list today? What am I supposed to be working on? What am I supposed to be focusing on? And then I do those things. And some of those things, like, that I did last mm-hmm. year, I still don't know why I did them. I don't know what the fruit is, but when I did them, I did them out of obedience. You told me to do it, I did it. And when I asked, like, what is this? And he's like, it's seed planting. Just be patient with it. You know, just let it sit and let me do the work after, but you've done what I've asked you to do. And so sometimes I think that can be really frustrating when you want to see that action now, right? You want to see immediate impact, immediate results. And sometimes those immediate results don't come, but mm-hmm. you have to just stay diligent. And I think that when I think about writing a book, I mean, I can't even imagine, because to me, writing 1,000-word blog post seems overwhelming. So I'm thinking about things.
Just to me, in fairness, and just to me as well.
But when you think about trying to write that whole book and just knowing that, you know, the story is going to come together in eventually, it will, and allowing yourself to do it slowly. I think there's so much grace in that, and so much self-love in that of like, I'm going to let myself do this slowly and in those 10 minute, 20 minute, 30 minute increments. And every now and then, if I can get out of the house for 2 hours and just go write for 2 hours, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's become one of my sort of go-to phrases recently is give yourself grace. And it's something that I tell my listeners and my readers a lot, because like you and me, they want to have that book written immediately. So I'm always saying, you know, remember, give yourself grace. We're all learning, we're all beginners. You've got to learn your craft and it takes time. But I think it's a real, yeah, it's such a great phrase. It encompasses so much, and not only to trust the time, but to trust yourself that you'll get there and you'll figure it out. Especially, you know, I'm a, what's called a discovery writer. So I never plan my books in advance. They always sort of, I just sit down and think, okay, what's going to happen now? And I wait for the characters to tell me, or the writing to tell me. So I have to put a lot of trust. And as you say, self-love, there kind of has to be a real connection with myself to say, okay, you know, you can do this. You know, you've got this, just sit with it and wait and see what happens. So, yeah.
I feel like that's how I have to approach blog posts, is I can have the idea, but I've got to, it's for me, like some of my best blog, what I consider some of my best blog posts have come to me when I'm not trying to write. And so for me, it's like I'm driving down the road and I can't even pick up a pen to write down what the words are in my head. So I have to pick up my phone and just start doing a voice memo or voice to text or whatever, something, just at least get that initial thought out. And then I can go and I can take that and I can build it out and I can make it, you know, make it longer, expand and things like that if I need to. And sometimes exactly what comes out, it's like, nope, there's nothing more. It's going to be a short blog post. Here's what it is.
It's precise, as you've said what you needed to say. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Yep. So you mentioned you work with beginner writers. What drew you to the beginner writer, and how long have you been working with them?
So I've been working with beginner writers not yet a year, so because I'm a beginner myself, you know. But I think it sort of stems back to that question before, you know, how did writing change me? And it just changed everything. It changed my life so profoundly that I wanted other people to share in this as well, especially I'd say other stay-at-home mums who perhaps like me were going through a period where, you know, they'd gotten married, so given up their name, so who they used to be or who they felt that they were, that identity. They've perhaps, because they're stay-at-home mums, they've given up perhaps a very good career, so they've lost that professional identity as well, perhaps also, you know, the financial identity that came along with that, and can be in a state of flux, kind of, I don't want to say a midlife crisis, but certainly a period of where you're at home with these young people that you can't really talk to because they're, you know, the young people. So for a lot of us, especially as I think a lot of mums are getting older, trying to think, okay, well, look what's happened with the first half of my life. How do I want the second half of my life to go? And being a stay-at-home mum can be a real period of transition for a woman. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to share that, because with the arts in particular, you know, it's not often considered to be a real job or a proper job. And so many people who might have had that desire as a younger person have put it off because they've needed to pay the bills, or they've decided they wanted to have a family. And so you can put that off. But now, kind of in a sort of later season of life, you can come back to it and think, well, actually, no, I really loved that. I really enjoyed it. It gave me a lot of pleasure. Maybe this is something I could take up again. So I really wanted to speak to those women who are looking for a new outlet, perhaps a new career or a second career, or even just to do something for fun that they've always wanted to pursue. So not only might it be another career for them, but it also gives them this new sense of identity that they can take on the world and they can do whatever they want. And if they write this book, then what else could they do? So I really wanted to share that with other women who were in a similar position to me, because it's just, I feel like it has empowered me so, so much to take on other things, like, you know, creating this business that works with other women. I would never have dreamed I would have done that before I'd written this book. But now I feel that, yes, I have. I've learnt myself. I've developed processes for my writing and they work. So I really want to share that with other women who also want to pursue a creative life that they perhaps felt wasn't open to them before, or as a younger person they didn't have the confidence to do, but now they may well have. So those are the women that I particularly want to work with.
That's awesome. You mentioned you've developed a process. You have now, over two books now, you have developed a process. Can you give us a little insight, like maybe three tips that our listeners can implement fairly quickly, or your top three things to really look at what are you doing and how do you start doing something now?
So I do. I have quite a nice little cheat sheet, you could call it, a little PDF that will help people. And I think it's applicable not just to writing, but almost anything that you're doing in life, really, that's a new challenge for you. For me, the number one thing is scheduling. It's, making the time to do it. So our lives these days, nothing is left to chance anymore. If you are working, then you know the hours that you need to be in your work. You know when your lunch break is, when you take your coffee breaks. If you do sports, then you know when you play your sports. It's all scheduled in. If you've got kids, well, my goodness, nothing is left to chance anymore. I don't know about you, but when I was young, you know, we would be thrown out onto the streets to go and play and told. So you would just go around to your friend's house, you'd knock on the door and say, oh, is so-and-so coming out to play today? For me here in Edinburgh anyway, those days have gone. Everything is scheduled. All play dates are scheduled. All activities are in the diary at least a week in advance. So I think that you can apply this to your writing. So you can look, most people have a rough idea of how their week looks. So if you can have a look at the upcoming 7 days and you know that you've got, say, half an hour one day and you've got 20 minutes another day, you can allocate those times to writing. But you need to be sort of realistic about it and know, not try and squeeze too much in a day. Don't try and squeeze it in between two appointments, because the chances are appointments will run over and you won't find the time. But if, for example, you know, you take your daughter to dancing class and that's an hour, normally you might sit and have a chit chat with some friends, but maybe that actually could be a time that you take 20 minutes and do your writing. Or you know that a Wednesday evening, for example, you've got the house to yourself, so that might be a nice time. So scheduling it in, I think, is one of like the first most important thing that you can do. Because also once you've scheduled it in, once you know when it's going to happen, you've made that plan, then it takes the pressure off. You don't need to stress about it for the rest of the week. You know it's going to happen. That's it. You don't need to worry about it. So that, I think, is sort of the first thing that people can do. The next thing to do is to sit down at your desk on those allocated times and do the work. And then at the end of the 7 days, sort of have a look back and think, well, did I do it? You know, did I turn up on those days and did I do the work? If you did, fantastic. Give yourself a pat on the back. That's brilliant. Do the same again next time. But if you didn't do it, then don't criticize yourself. Don't chastise yourself about that, because often we do. We are very quick to judge ourselves and very quick to see the negative in ourselves. So don't do that. Really just kind of analyze what went wrong. Did you try and fit too much in a day? Was there an emergency another day which meant that you just couldn't fit it in? Did something crop up? But be honest with yourself, you know, did something crop up? And that genuinely you couldn't get out of it, or were you feeling a bit scared and anxious about sitting down to write for the first time in a long time and you gave yourself a bit of an excuse? So just have a think about that, acknowledge it, sit with it. That's okay. Now you've acknowledged it, you're going to look ahead to the next 7 days and again try and fit in that time. Look for those spots where you can fit in your writing in a relaxed way, in a way that you'll be able to write, or at very least kind of be thinking about what it is you want to write about. So that would be my step number two, is to sort of analyze how those writing times went. And the third step actually isn't quite as immediate, because once you've found a groove for yourself, once you've found those patterns that work for you, you want to start increasing the time that you're writing. And so I kind of call that the 5 minute club. You want to start adding on just 5 minutes to the end of each session. You don't want really to do too much more than that, because you want it to feel seamless. You don't want it to feel that you're putting extra pressure on yourself, because you've already got a busy enough week. You don't want to be making it more difficult. This has got to feel like a natural progression. And you might be thinking, well, if I'm struggling to fit the time in now, how on earth can I add in another 5 minutes in a few months' time? And I think that's one of the joyous things when we find something we love. It's amazing how much time will open up for you because you're enjoying it so much, because you're looking forward to getting back to your notebook or your laptop and you want to do that writing. You will choose times that you can allow that to happen. You might choose not to watch that TV program that evening because you do want to do your writing, or you might choose not to go for that coffee that day because you want to get back to your work. So it might feel like you're increasing the amount of time and it might not be doable right now, but as you progress and as you enjoy it more, the time will open itself up to you, the opportunities will open themselves up to you, and you will find that way. So that's kind of how I got started. That's the process that I used when I got started, was just to write what I could when I could. And then when I got comfortable with that and I was enjoying it, then I increased the time. And now that I'm writing full time, I know when I'm writing a new manuscript, then I write for two and a half hours Monday to Friday. And I know that I can do that and sit down and do it. And that's how I started with those 10 minutes. I didn't always do 2 hours. So it's a progression. It's a process. But that's how people can get started if they want to start writing, or indeed any other new activity that you're doing. But I believe, really strongly believe, the key is scheduling it in.
I agree. You have to know your priorities, and you have to know, you know, what is it you're trying to accomplish. And then, and I like what you said about like honoring that, like kind of in that step two, where you've scheduled it. Now, looking back, did you honor the schedule with yourself? Because I know one of the things that for me, and this is something that I learned years ago, was when I block off time to do my work, and I started this when I was in the corporate world, where I had, you know, meetings that were scheduled and I had to be in, but then I had my own work that I needed to do, and I would block off that time on my schedule that I was working on, you know, this particular project plan at this time, or I was working on this document at this time, and I'd block it off so that somebody couldn't schedule a meeting in there and the stuff like that, because it was something on my schedule, and so they wouldn't schedule over it, because that was the only way I was going to get my work done. And I have to do the same thing in my business, and my coaching business, is scheduling that time to, you know, work on my course, scheduling the time to write the blog post, scheduling the time to do a video, and have that time scheduled out. And then honor that time, not let those other things, unless it is something that truly is an emergency, can't be moved, must happen now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not letting just, well, I don't feel like doing that right now, I can move that to tomorrow and I'll do this now. But actually honoring that schedule just as much as I would honor the fact that, you know, we have this time scheduled for this interview and I'm going to show up for it. I got to show up for myself too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. I think that's also when it's something artistic like this, you're not doing it for anybody else. Remember that you're doing it for you. It's for your enjoyment. So you're not letting anybody else down. You're letting yourself down by, you know, just hiding away from it. You've got to take that first step into the unknown, and then you'll fly from there, really. Yeah.
In the process of your process, I'm sure there are times when you don't quite feel that motivated to go write. You know, you have that time scheduled and you're just not feeling it that day. How do you keep yourself motivated to write every single day?
It's become habit now, so that does help. I sort of just on automatic pilot, drop my kids off at school and then I go to the local cafe where I write. So the little bit of it is habit. But there's also, I got somebody else advised this. Somebody else advised me of this a few years ago, and I think it really does ring true. They said, you know, stay close to the fire. So whatever field you're in, stay close to the fire. So for me as a writer, that means I'm always writing craft books, reading craft books, or I'm reading biographies from other authors, or I'm listening to podcasts to do with writing and publishing, or just indeed reading just for the fun of it. So by doing those things, I'm always sort of keeping that at the forefront of my mind. It's always refilling my creative well, if you like. So I'm always being inspired by other writers around me, they either around me or writers that I admire. So I try and do that every day, be doing something that is relevant to my writing or my publishing, but isn't creating, it's absorbing. And then that helps keep me stimulated and gets me writing. And I think there's also just that memory of knowing how good I feel. Okay, I might not feel up to it today, but I remember yesterday when I packed up for the day, I felt really good. I'd achieved something. And I know that at the end of the day, that's going to feel really good. Like, you know, I can sort of think of people who go running, for example, and they talk about being in the zone. It's that kind of thing, you know, I've just got to push through those first few minutes to get into the zone. And then afterwards, when I finish, I'm going to feel so good. I'm going to get such a buzz from it. That that can also help keep me motivated and keep me going, even when it's a bit tough. I mean, there are times where, you know, it's a really difficult part of the book. I'm just not sure where it's going. I'm just not feeling it. So I won't stay for the whole 2 hours, perhaps. I might just do 1 hour, but I give myself the opportunity to get myself out of that slump, because you just never know what's going to happen or what inspiration is going to hit. So you've got to give yourself that opportunity to do the work before you give up and say, no, I'm not in the mood. You can't wait for the muse to hit you. You've got to take it on your own and make it yours. Take control. Yeah.
I agree. It's the same in business. You've got to do it anyway. And it may be that, you know, it's not your best that moment, because you can always come back and edit, you know.
Yeah.
But at least you got something. At least you still did it. You pushed through. You made something happen. And didn't just walk away because you just weren't feeling like it. Because then you're going to beat yourself up that, oh, I didn't do it again. Like, you know, I put it off. And then you're going to beat yourself up about that.
Yeah.
And so
one of the best
giving
books
it
I've
tried.
Yeah, sort of thinking of the business side as well, one of the best books I've read about that is The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. Mm. That also kind of just changed my view of so many things, and his sort of mantra of, you know, it's easy to do something and it's easy not to. You've got to make that decision for your business. Are you going to do it or are you not? It's up to you. And that really resonated with me. And I thought, okay, even when I'm not in the mood, if I just do that one email, then at least that's something. That's one step closer towards my goal. And I think about that with my writing as well. You know, if I'm really just can't feel it, then just do one paragraph, and then that's one paragraph more than you had yesterday. But that I, for your audience out there, if you haven't read The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, I really, really recommend it.
Thank you for that recommendation. I appreciate that. So we mentioned about when you got started, your children were younger, and now, of course, and what we've got going on across the globe right now, schools are out, kids are home. We maybe haven't been used to them being home when we have that more dedicated work time. I know you mentioned, you know, you drop the kids off at school and you go to a cafe and you write. I kind of do the same thing. In the morning, I drop my daughter off at school. I go to a nutrition hub and I'll sit there and I'll do my Bible study and then I'll do some work. They'll see, I have noticed for me, those days when I can like work straight through and be writing that whole time, when I've got to write an email sequence or whatever, it's like, it seems like that location works really well for me.
And so it's amazing, so hard, isn't it?
It's so hard right now being out of that routine and not being able to do that and having to learn to try to get that same amount of focus and that same amount of intention sitting here at my desk, because it's like, there are certain things I do here at my desk and then I write there, you know? And so trying to remember, I can write here too. But getting that.
It's just not as easy.
Yeah. It's just not as easy. Yeah, when you have those locations and it just like, yeah, there are days where I'll sit there all day from the time I drop my daughter off at school to the time I pick her up, because I'm in a flow. I'm in that zone and I, you know, words are just flowing and I just got to go. I got to stay. I don't want to break
the zone.
Yeah. I don't want to break that at all, because it does not happen frequently.
That's it. Yeah, so, you want to get as much done as possible.
So especially, so just thinking about that and having to adjust a little bit to the kids being home, and not just them being home, because it's one thing for them to be home in the summer. We all manage through that one, right? But home in the summer, but they're not just home now, but we're also having to help, like, you know, my daughter's waiting to do something when we get finished with this interview. She's got something she needs some help with. And so we're having to help with the schoolwork and things like that too. And how do you recommend, like, what tips, what can you give us that will help us with balancing motherhood and running a business and all of that right now?
It's expectations, I think, isn't it? And I think that's where, as self-employed people, as business owners, we're at an advantage. But I think a lot of it is setting expectations of what you can actually do in a day. If you're expecting to be able to do as full a day as you did before, you're just going to frustrate yourself and get cross with everybody. But if you know that, okay, I need to do these three things today, those are the three important things. If I get those done, that's me had a good day. I think that just managing your own expectations, and then also the children's as well, about how much you are actually able to help them. And that, yes, they may be on holiday or feel like they're on holiday, but mommy and daddy still have to work. You know, if they want those days out or they want that holiday, or, you know, I don't think there's any harm in them understanding that life still goes on and that we still have to work because we, you know, we want the nice things in life. But one thing that we found quite well, because my husband is then working from home as well, is that, granted, my children are younger, so their schoolwork isn't as intense. It's not as important if they miss this session, because they're just at the beginning of school. But we bring them downstairs with us, so they've each got a little, not a desk, but they've each got their own place where they sit, and they bring their schoolwork down. So while we're working, they're working, and then they feel that they're part of it, and that they're not in a classroom situation, but it's that group mentality. Sure. Where if we're all working, then they want to do it too, and they want to be seen to be doing a good job, so they want to impress us. So that's helped quite a bit. The weather here has started to improve as well. So I'm a bit of a mean mommy, and I will quite happily kick my kids out into the garden and tell them they're not allowed back in until they grumble about and say they're bored, but then invariably they find a game to play, so that keeps them happy. But I'm also not above using modern technology, and when afternoon comes, I'm quite happy to put them in front of the TV or give them their iPad or their laptop or whatever they want to do, and let them have a few hours of downtime too. You know, what else can we do? Life is carrying on. We're trying to do it the best we can. And our modern day lives, they're certainly, I think, in the West, they're not set up for having the kids at home and having a parent who necessarily has all day. Unless your kids are still very young and you, that is what you do, it's kind of harder as they get older and you find your own outside interests and you build your own business, then it's harder to switch back and downscale completely. But I think expectations really are the biggest way, and then setting some clear boundaries for yourself and for the kids. And don't be afraid to be a mean mommy and kick them out and let them play. A bit of boredom doesn't hurt. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really appreciate your tips, because they do apply to both your, you know, figuring out your schedule and your process for writing, just as much as they do for figuring out your schedule and process for running your business. And
yeah, indeed.
And so that definitely overlaps the same way. I've been curious what the behind you, because I've noticed when we're on our coaching calls, like what's happening back there changes. And there was a map up there recently. Is that your kind of like vision board for your writing, or is that what?
That's right. Yeah. So whatever novel I'm working on at the time, it goes back there. So this is the third one. I've written the third one, and it's with the editor right now. So, but I know it's going to come back to me with a lot of edits. So I use a lot of pictures to try and just off the internet, who I think look like my characters. And then I have the chapter name, or, you know, what happens in each chapter to give me an idea of the flow of the story. So I'll leave that up until it comes back from the editor and it's all finished. And then it goes off to, Amazon and gets published. And then on this side, this has all changed as well, because this had my post-its up for my course. But I've not quite started again, but I've rejigged my course, which is now with the beta people, and they seem quite happy with it actually at the moment. So that's good. So maybe I don't need to change as much as I thought I might have to. So those are all my sticky, my post-it party. Yes. Stickies.
Well, I keep that side of my office back there looking really nice and snazzy, and then all my post-its are in front of me and on the wall next to me. So yeah, right there with you.
Yeah, it's a bit chaotic, but yours always looks nice and calm.
Some out in the entry hall as well, inside our front door. I've got blank wall, and so there's big post-it notes out there too, with lots of little post-it notes all over it.
What did we do before the post-it?
I have no idea. So how can we connect with you?
Well, you could go to my website, which is emmadesi.com. And if you're interested in downloading the little cheat sheet I mentioned earlier, it's emmadesi.com/3easysteps. And then I'm on all the socials at emmadesi. So I'm there's only a few of us out there now, and I've got the handle. So it's emmadesi, and you'll find me on all the socials. But thank you very much. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Isn't Emma amazing? She's just such a joy to be around. And I learned so much from her, and I love the process that she teaches with her free guide. And you can get that. I'll have the link in the show notes definitely for that. What I loved was how intentional she teaches you to be with your time. With that fitting it into the nooks and crannies isn't when there's time, but it's making the time for it. It's scheduling the time for it, planning to take that time for you to start your writing or your business, to work on the pieces of your business or the pieces of your book that are important and that need to get done. And then, like, weekly evaluating that time. How did you spend it? Did you honor your commitments with yourself? If not, why? And if it's something you can change, then just make a decision to change it. And if it's something you couldn't change, then give yourself grace for not being able to meet your deadline or meet your expectations, right? We talked about expectations. That's the biggest key, right? Is making sure that you have accurate, grace-filled expectations of what you can really do in a week. And then I loved how she talked about implementing going forward. Once you get good and consistent at using that 10 or 20 minutes that you've scheduled, then you begin to build on that, but only 5 minutes at a time, so it doesn't seem overwhelming. And so you're working into more time. And I liked that concept of working into the more time by adding just 5 minutes at a time to the time that you've scheduled. And then the other thing that I really enjoyed was the phrase she used of staying close to the fire, how you stay motivated, how you stay fueled in what you're doing, because you can only give out so much before you need to be poured back into. And so professional development and personal development, and then just that me time of reading something she enjoys, are so important. And that's important to us as business owners as well. And we can't get unbalanced in what we're doing in our professional development, because sometimes we can get so caught up in the professional development. We're reading all the business books and everything, and all the ideas are coming as far as what we should be doing and how we need to do it. And then we get overwhelmed because we're not working on the personal development, the mindset. We're not working on just enjoyment and planning time to rest and just reading books that you just enjoy because you enjoy them. And so that you have to have that balance. And then she mentioned that book, The Slight Edge. And I'll also link to that too. I know it's one that's on my reading list. I haven't read it yet, but it's definitely going to make its way up the list a little bit faster now because of our talk today. When you spend time in your business, whatever time that can be, you know that you are working towards a goal. But you need to know why you're working towards that goal. I highly recommend that as you implement these practices that Emma shared today, that you know why you're doing it, because that's what's really going to fuel you when you have those moments that you just don't feel inspired or you just don't feel like doing it. But you know you've got to. You need to honor that commitment to yourself. But the way that you do that and the way you keep doing that is knowing why you're in the business to begin with, or why you're writing that book to begin with. And it may start out that you're writing just because you know you need that personal, like self-care time of taking care of you and getting back to what you enjoy. If it's your business, then you have to know why you're in business. What is it you're trying to accomplish? What's the end goal, like long-term end goal of what you're trying to accomplish? So that fuels you, that even if it is only working 10 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day or 2 hours a week in one pocket of time, that every time that you're able to sit down and do that, you know why you're there. And that's going to help keep you motivated and keep you sitting there when times get tough. Because times are going to be tough, and there are going to be times that you don't want to work on it. And there's going to be that time that you just want to go take a nap. But you know you've got to get things done. So you have to know why you're doing it to begin with. I really enjoyed this. I'm so glad that Emma was able to come on today. And I know you enjoyed it too. Well, okay, I'm projecting. I believe you enjoyed it. Anyway, if you have any questions for Emma, feel free to comment here. I'll make sure she gets it. If you are ready to start your own business and you're looking for help, you're in that state of overwhelm, you've been doing all the research and you're just not sure where to go, what to do, how to get there, I invite you to reach out to me and just ask for some time for just a free consult on getting your business started. You can email me at Steph, S-T-E-P-H, at empoweredcreativitycoach.com and just say, hey, I'd like to pick your brain. And we can definitely schedule a time where we can talk through your ideas and figure out what's going to work. What type of business is the business you're thinking about going to be good for you? Is it going to be what needs to be done? And then what are those first few steps you need to take now so that you can start working on it now? I encourage you to reach out to me. There's like no obligation to do anything other than just pick my brain. I'm here for you. So email me at Steph, S-T-E-P-H, at empoweredcreativitycoach.com. And let's get together and let's chat. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy whatever it is you're doing today. Decide to make it good. Decide to make it a good day. Decide to enjoy whatever it is. Find something to be grateful for in it, even if it's a rough day. I love you. I appreciate so much that you're here, and we'll see you next time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I found chatting to Stephanie really fascinating, particularly understanding there's that overlap between business and writing. And it's not necessarily that you want to have a business with your writing, but that overlap of being intentional with your time and how you use it, and sort of thinking ahead by scheduling your time. They both interconnect really nicely. So I thought that was interesting, and I've put in the show notes how you can connect with Stephanie. So if what she does resonates with you, you can get in touch with her and perhaps she can be of help. All right, thanks so much, and I will speak to you next time. Bye-bye.